think those are the thoughts of Jesus. Oh, precious child, when will I see you again? And who, I would say, is the song talking about? Talking about you. It's talking about you. Genesis. We find Adam enjoying what the Lord has created. We find Eve enjoying what the Lord has created. And then something happened. And then we read this sad statement, chapter 3, verse 10. So he said, Adam, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And it's a sad thing because Adam and Eve were used to talking to the Lord face to face every morning. They were friends. They conversed. They talked. They shared. And this particular morning, they heard the footsteps of Jesus, and they hid. They were afraid. And ever since then, it seems like humanity has been in this mode of being afraid. The armies of the living God were fighting against the Philistines. And for 40 days, the Bible says that this Philistine would come and challenge the armies of the living God. And what was their reaction to this? 1 Samuel 17:11, it says, when Saul and all the Israelites heard what this Philistine said, they were gripped with fear. They were afraid. They didn't know what they were going to do with this Philistine. The greatest prophet had tremendous faith in his God. And there in the First Kings, Elijah heard that this woman was going to be after him. And what was his reaction to that? Says that when Jezebel told him, by tomorrow, you're going to be dead. And the Bible says that Elijah was filled with fear and he took off. He took off. Second Samuel, chapter 12, verse 18. You all know the story, Bathsheba, okay? There was a son that happened because of all of that. And the son got sick. David put on sackcloth. And for 7 days, he prayed. He fasted. He repented. He was just seeking the Lord. And the servants, well, after 7 days, they didn't want to tell him something. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 18, this is what the word of the Lord says. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. The servants feared David. This morning, the question is, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? You know, you stand and you listen to people. They're in the markets, at the library, in the stores. People gather. What are people talking about? Well, they're talking about layoffs at work. That's something that people are fearful about. They are talking about the slowdown in the economy, especially some people that maybe own businesses. The slowdown in the economy, we hear that a lot. Conflict in the Middle East. That's not new. It's been happening since Bible times. It's just a continuation. But the conflict in the Middle East, people are afraid of that. Turnovers in headquarters. For those that have, you know, franchises, that's a scary thing to hear that what's happening up at headquarters. Downturns in the housing market. My wife and I are affected by that. We still have not sold our home. And the options, well, they said either rent it or lose it. We tried to rent it. It's not going. So what's the next option? Lose it. And then we start thinking, you know, we lose it, then our credit, and blah, 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 blah. So, and people are talking about this. They're afraid. Global warming. You know, there are some that are afraid that, you know, the poles are going to melt because of all this, and we're all going to be flooded, and people are concerned. They're afraid. Breakouts there in the Al-Qaeda cells. Okay, terrorism. People are afraid. What else are people being afraid of? Well, they're afraid that some crazy terrorist might, you know, gather some nuclear warheads. And, you know, that could be very, very devastating if that ever happens. Swine flu. You know, some of you were affected by this. Some of you had family that were affected by this or are being affected by this. The whole country, the whole world is fearful. Violence. Now, that was one of the main reasons why God destroyed the inhabitants the first time there with the flood. Because there was a lot of violence in the land. The moral corruption. You know, that has a lot of people in fear. What's going to happen? What's going to take place? And, you know, even us as pastors, it's not, I wouldn't say it's a fear, but, you know, they have already started talking. And I think there are some other places where it is illegal for a pastor not to marry a couple of the same sex. You have to do that if they come to you. And if you don't, you're breaking the law. And if you break the law, you go to jail. Well, come visit. You know, you got to stand for something. But people are fearful. We fear of being sued. Okay? We fear finishing last. It might not be a fear for you adults, but for a young person, that's a real fear, finishing last. We fear going broke. Why? Well, we'll have to provide for my family. Yeah, but what about if, you know, it's only you and husband? Well, you still, people fear going broke. But now, could you imagine a family with four children and that might be having financial problems? This is a real fear. we fear the mole on our back. My wife is out. I have some moles here that grow, you know, and she's always checking those, make sure that they don't turn colors or they don't spread or they don't do this or that. When I was younger, my mom, I told her, I was about 15, 16, and there was a lump on my chest. And she felt it. You could see the eyes just pop, and boom, right away to the doctor. The doctor checked it out, and all he said was, "Don't worry, it'll go away." And you know what? The doctor was right. It went away. Yeah, but was she fearful about that? Yes, we fear the lump on the body, wherever it might be. We fear when, you know, things begin to shake that we don't want them to shake. We fear those things. We fear that new kid on the block might be different. We fear getting old. We fear about our investments. Okay? All these things, people are afraid. I just saw your baby, and it reminded me that when we first had Michael, you know, the first one is a lot different than the second. The first one is like, the second one is like, she'll get over it. But we feared, you know what? We went and bought all these sophisticated things to hear them in the evening because we feared that they'll stop breathing. So we were sleeping and we kind of took turns, woke each other up, and we listened to that. Oh, she's breathing. Let's go back to sleep. Fear. Fear is all around us. Fear, it seems like it has taken a stronghold in our lives. It's in there. Whether you like it or not, it's sort of like this oversized bully. Have you ever dealt with a bully? I have, because I was the little one with the short legs. And fear is like this whole massive bully that takes over our heart, and sometimes it tells happiness and joy and all the other fruit of the Spirit. It says, get out. And happiness and joy look at this fear and say, okay, we're out. And that's what reigns in the hearts of people. Can you, is the question, can you be happy and afraid at the same time? Can you have clear thinking and be afraid at the same time? Could you be merciful and afraid? You know what? Fear never, never wrote a symphony or a poem. Fear never negotiated a peace treaty. Fear never cured a disease. Fear never pulled a family out of poverty. Fear never saved a marriage. Fear never shared the gospel. What did that? Courage did that. Fear did not do that. Courage did. And what else does those things? Faith does those things. But not fear. Fear kind of throws you into this cell and shuts you up, and you are a prisoner of fear. This morning, if you let the Holy Spirit work in your hearts, you can walk out. You can walk out. Could you imagine if the default action, I would say, if the automatic reaction to all these things that happen in your life would be faith or courage? All the threats that you have, all the fears that you have, could you imagine if when the fear came, when the threats came, your reaction would be faith. Your reaction would be to trust in the Lord. It would be something like, I think, you know, if fear was metal shavings, because each metal shaving, I'm looking at it as a part of fear that you're letting into your heart. Wouldn't it be nice if you are full of fear that the fear magnet would come along in your heart and just start sweeping things out? That fear magnet, just take all the shavings of fear. What would the heart look like? No fear, all joy. And I think that's what the Lord wants for us in our lives. He wants for us not to have that spirit of fear. Think about it. A whole day without fear. A day absent from, let's say, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of losing your job, fear of not having enough money, fear of how am I going to pay the bills, all that gone one day. Well, how about a whole life without fear? Wouldn't you like that? And the Lord is willing to give you that. The disciples, remember that storm? I preached about this. They were in that storm. And in Matthew 8:26, Jesus asks a question, a simple question. Jesus is in the boat and he asks, why are you afraid? Because you know how the disciples were. They were afraid. They were yelling and screaming that they were going to die. And Jesus asks them, why are you afraid? John 16:33, the Bible says, in the world you will have fun. Is that what the Bible says? No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, in the world you will have tribulation. Brothers and sisters, Christians, followers of Christ, get cancer and die. Followers of Jesus Christ get this H1N1. Followers of Jesus Christ, have accidents and their children to die. The followers of Jesus Christ do face and battle addictions. Followers of Jesus fear many, many things. And they battle many, many things. And I've discovered one thing. Fear changes us. Fear feels dreadful. Like there is no way out. Fear drains us of contentment. Fear, as a matter of fact, fear for some people is so strong that it becomes a full-blown depression and they're afraid of facing the world. So what do? They sleep. It is so much easier to stay home in bed with the covers over their head than to go out and face life. Why? Because they are afraid. A fear-filled person, listen to this, cannot love deeply. Why? Because love is a risky thing. Love, you gotta take a risk to give yourself totally to someone else. A fear-filled person cannot give to the poor or be a faithful steward. Why? Because being faithful steward requires you to let go of fear and trust in God Almighty. The gospel. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they make certain statements, imperative statements, statements that Jesus Christ has said, and it's like, you have to do these things. And there are about 125 of those imperative statements in the Gospel. 21 of these urge us not to be afraid. They urge us not to fear. They urge us to take courage. They urge us to be of good cheer, to take heart. You know what the second one, the one that has the most hits, so to speak? The second most common command in the Gospels is to love God and neighbor. 8 times it appears. Now, if quantity would be an indicator of what's important, you know, when we give Bible studies, we make emphasis on the fact that they are 84 times that the Bible mentions the what? Sabbath. 84 times. So that's a good indicator of the importance if quantity was an indicator. So in this case, if quantity is an indicator of importance, then Jesus takes being fearful very seriously. He does. One statement, though, that he made more often was this one. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do you remember some of the statements your parents made? I remember some of the statements that my parents made. My mom. And I could say this because she's not here today. I'd be fearful. She would say, otra vez? Otra vez means again? I remember those statements. My dad's name is Orlando, like Orlando, Florida. That's my dad's name. But my mom said it in a certain tone, in the decibel level, a certain. So when she said it that way, we knew. He's in trouble. Statements. I remember the statements. It was no questioning. It was just like, thank you, Mom, for letting me go out. But it was always, be home by 9:30. Mom, I'm 18 years old. Be home by 9:30. Yes, ma'am. And then my dad, I remember things that my dad used to say. I think all dads say this, but be careful, dads. Please don't say this to your kids. I'm trying not to say this to my son. Don't cry. Don't cry. Or go ask your mom. Yeah, Dad, could we see this like questioning look on, should I go this way, should I do it? Simple, go ask your mom. And then there's another statement that we would hear a lot, monos. Monos, it's like calling us monkeys. Monos. You know, it's like, you guys bother a lot. Monos, get out of here. We used to hear those statements a lot. I wonder if we meditated on the statements that Jesus Christ has made what would we see? Well, there'll be statements like, don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Matthew 10:31. Or, take courage, son. Your sins are forgiven. Or, I'll tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough. Jesus Christ talking to you this morning, don't worry. Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well. Luke 8:50. Take courage. I am here. When you're facing difficulties, isn't this a nice promise? Matthew 14:27. Take courage. I am here. Believe me. And then it says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Do not fear. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That was our scripture for this morning. John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. 14:27 of that same chapter. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He asked them, why are you afraid? Why do you have doubts? You know, that's a question that really could come to us too this morning. Remember, Jesus was with them all the time. What was Jesus trying to get across? You shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't have doubts. Why? Because I am here with you. And he's asking those questions to you this morning. Why are you afraid? And why do you have doubts? See, it says, that you are not troubled. See that you are not afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. You see what Jesus is trying to tell us this morning? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here with you. Jesus does not want you to live in a state of fear. If we live in a state of fear, we're like that picture I showed you. In a prison, we can't do anything. Why? Because fear has a grip on us. Fear about the future. Fear about our job. Fear about paying bills. Are we going to be able to? Yet, you know, all those fears. I'm pretty sure you have never made statements like these. My phobias put such a spring in my step. Or maybe this one. Have you ever said this one? I'd be a rotten parent if it were not for my hypochondria. Or, oh, thank God for my pessimism. I've been such a better person since I've lost hope. Or how about this one? Oh, my doctor says, if I don't begin to worry and be anxious, I will lose my health. Is that what doctors say? You know what? You and I this morning need to understand the cost of fear. Being fearful is not a good thing. From the stern of the boat, Jesus is sleeping quietly. I mean, He's just sleeping in that pillow, and he gets up and asks the disciples. Now remember what's happening. Major storm, lightning, waves, wind, thunder, dark. And he gets up and says, "Why are you so fearful?" And then he says, "Oh, you of little faith." Now, having said everything that I have said about fear, I have to throw something in. Fear, in its right use, can be a healthy thing. Let me explain. The right amount of fear can keep your child from running across a busy highway. All right? The right amount of fear can keep an adult from doing something crazy. Okay? The right amount of fear can, you know, make me have a reaction that in all reality I do have. A growling dog, I'm out of here. But then for me, any dog, I'm out of here. Grace, if I would find Coco, and I didn't know who Coco was, and he came to me wagging his tail and smiling, I'm out of here. If Lassie came to me, I'm out of here. Fear. And sometimes we live with fear. Sometimes anxiety dominates ourselves. And sometimes we worry and let all this take control of our life. And you know what happens? Happiness goes away. And you know, you ever wonder why you, brothers and sisters, you look at each other and some are happy and some are like, always gloomy. Fear does that. And it is this kind of fear that God does not want in our hearts. This is what he said. God has not given us the spirit of fear. All right? He has not. Fear may fill the world. Fear may be out there. Fear is all over the place. But fear does not necessarily have to be in our hearts. That's why it is so important to fill our hearts with the Holy Spirit. Very important. I just like to let you know that I have wonderful parents. But when we first came to the United States, my mom was not a practicing Adventist and my dad claimed to be a Baptist. So for the first, oh, I would say 10, 15 years, because my mom later on got rebaptized, praise the Lord. And then my dad studied. My dad was a hard one. The pastor came over the house once a week for, I don't know, 3.5 years. And finally, you know, he saw the light and he was baptized too. But for the first years we lived, we were sent to church, but our parents did not go. And so when I was around 10, I guess our parents did not realize the effects that watching scary things would have on a child. So they let us watch scary things. You know, Frankie, Mr. D. I don't want to say it because I don't want the kids to go and trying to figure out what they are. Dracula. You know, that used to work with my son until he realized that when my wife and I said, what are you going to go get? Pizza. When they found out what that meant, there goes our code. And so we were into that. And then one October 31st, we're walking into the house, our home, and there was this long hallway that, you know, it was dark. And there were four of us. And we're walking in the house, and, you know, in numbers, everything's okay. And from the back of that dark hallway, we saw this dark figure just running towards us with a cape. And the closer it got to us, we could see the fangs, and they were bloody. And it said, we all said at the same time, we're next. And you've never seen four kids run out of house so fast. You know, really screaming. We were afraid. This was a real thing for us. We were afraid. We were running for our lives. I can still remember that dark hallway. And so we ran. We're screaming our heads off. And if you're a family, you could relate to this. My dad was laughing. My mom was screaming at him. The kids, you scared. And he's laughing. And we're outside, almost wetting our pants, shaking. And I don't know if the fear, that's where it first started for me. But some of you know that I was growing up, I was a fear of the dark. But there was another thing that I feared, and I was really 15, 17, I'm ashamed to say. I was around Andrew's age. How old are you, Andrew? 17, I was about your age, and I still went to bed. And there was a ritual I followed every time. I would get the blanket, wrap myself, and just leave my face all covered. Because if I left my neck open, I could always feel the fangs coming. And we lived in Southern California, and our home did not have air conditioning. And it might be 90 degrees in the evening, but I was covered up because I wasn't going to let Mr. D get my throat. Fear. It was a very fearful thing. And I lived with that for many, many years. Now, let me forward 36 years. All right? Let's forward 36 years. And for the sake of the person involved, I'm just going to use some clues. But there is a little one in my home. And not the male. He got over that one. Because, you know, I don't want them to say later on, Dad, you're always telling stories about us. But we ask, go upstairs and get something. And this little person stands at the bottom and looks up and says, I'm not going. And we say, why? Because it's dark and scary. Now, we have been very careful that they don't see any scary things. I don't know where, you know, it's something like it's within us to be fearful and to be afraid. And so Dad, of course, we are dads. I muster up all that superhuman courage. And I take out my shirt that has a big S and a big D. Super dad, you know, the little girls, they just look at you and go, ha, ha, ha. And I grab her by the hand and we go up and we go face all those dark, creepy, shadows that they might see that they're afraid of. And I battle all those monsters and I go in and I flick the light on. And she just looked at me and like, my dad, the superhero, he's not afraid. I just wonder if God Himself looks down at us, His children, and He says, go. And we say, no. He says, why? Because it's scary. It's dark. Whatever problem you might be facing, God says, face it. Go. And we're saying, no, it's scary. And then Jesus, God says, give me your hand. And we'll go face it together. Give me your hand. Whatever it might be, what are you fearful of? Losing your job? Are you fearful about the future? Are you fearful about your health? Are you fearful about getting old? Are you fearful about losing your home? Are you fearful? What are you fearful? Bring your fears to me and I will walk you through them. In this world, you will have tribulation. But you know what? The important thing is who we face that tribulation with. And we face those with Jesus Christ. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And He wants us as Christians to lay all fear aside, to trust Him, hold His hand, and walk with Him. Amen. We're going to have our closing hymn this, I was going to say morning, but I started in the morning and now it's afternoon. My hope is built on nothing less than whom? Jesus Christ. All right. Number 522. And I'm going to invite each one of you, we could stand together and sing this hymn, like we really mean it, that our hope is in nothing less than Jesus Christ.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other on His unchanging grace, in every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His hope is covenant, His blood. Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ
chapter 14, verse 27 of John. A peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us a spirit of courage. Thank you for supplying the faith that we will need to face our fears. Father, I pray that your promise to be with us, may we hold on to that promise as we face our fears and give them to you and let you handle them. Thank you. Be with us now during the rest of the Sabbath. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.